Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive. Hi, this is Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called Who Wants Money Fast? The Impatient Man's Guide to Success. Entrepreneurs are generally impatient people. We like action and we want everything done last week. That's why digital products are perfect. They're easy and they're cheap to make. They have incredible margins and can be thrown together in a few short hours. But the best part about them is they free up time so you can concentrate on the things that matter most in business, your marketing. And in this audio, new Audio Marketing Secrets student Liam interviews me about the best ways to make and market digital products, and also on the thought process and intricacies behind it. He really made me think, and the finished audio is like a quick start guide for entrepreneurism. You'll hear everything from how to make decisions fast to how to pearl dive your email list and be ready with an offer at the exact time someone is ready to make a purchase. You'll also learn the fastest known way to get the buyer to come to you instead of wasting your time chasing down prospects. You'll learn surprising solutions for transitioning your prospects from only wanting the free stuff to breaking out their credit cards. You'll learn how to make up to 30 times the amount of sales that most email marketers do. You'll learn what you need to know if you want to incorporate direct mail into your marketing plan. You'll learn the inside secrets to space ads. Never pay full price when rate cards are for dummies. You'll learn the often unheard of way to use failure as a stepping stone to success. You'll learn why it's so important to position yourself as the person with more information and how to do that. You'll learn the best 3 homework assignments you can get that will help you improve as a copywriter, interviewer, and entrepreneur. It used to be that if you wanted to create a product, you had to hire engineers, buy materials, build a prototype, essentially spend tens of thousands of dollars before you even knew if the thing would sell. That's still one way to do it, but fortunately, it's not the only way. And in this audio interview, you'll hear all about making money fast with digital products and a simple marketing plan. Now, let's get going.
And I wanted to start off, Mr. Senoff. You said something really interesting. I know you started all kinds of businesses, selling pens and selling T-shirts. But you mentioned something about you were always good at getting started fast, thinking fast, not dwelling, taking action. And I wonder if you could elaborate to me what that means, what kind of thought process that would entail, and then again how that translates into entrepreneurial success.
A lot of entrepreneurs, one characteristic is that they're impatient and they want control. I want to get going. Action is everything. Just do it. Just do it. Thinking about it, planning about it, looking at all the things that can go wrong, all of that stuff, that's hesitation. That hesitation is there because of fear, and that will keep you from just doing it. So I like stuff that I can have control over and that I can put into action fast. And I would think that's probably what I may have been referring to. I'm impatient. I want to get it going fast. And creating an information product using audio interviews is a great, fast way. I mean, look, you're going to have a product in the next 55 minutes that if you wanted to, you could sell. And it's being recorded. And once that recording's done, you don't even have to edit it. You've got your product. You've got your intellectual property. You've got your voice, which is your own. No one can duplicate it. You're protected intellectually. Intellectual rights are yours already. And that's pretty fast. You know, how long does it take to create an invention maybe made out of plastic where you need plastic injection moldings, you need engineers to do the diagrams, you need expensive equipment and raw materials to create a product, and, you know, by the time you even have your product, you've got maybe up to $20,000, $30,000 invested, and you don't even know if it's going to sell. But you're able to create a fast product in 55 minutes, and if it doesn't sell, so what? You've got barely anything invested but your time and some preparation and having the questions, and then you have something that can be distributed virtually for free anywhere in the world because it's a digital product. So I'm just using that as an example.
Right. Yeah, but what you're saying is really good, because how interesting is it that there's so many people, they do the opposite. You know, they say, give me 6 months and $50,000 and I'll be ready to go into business.
That's right. A lot of people believe that the traditional business may be like a McDonald's or a restaurant. Yeah. And, you know, a restaurant, you got to lease a space for maybe 5 years. You're committed there. You need ovens. You need equipment. You have all the regulatory agencies to comply with. You've got taxes. You've got the employees, workmen's compensation. Lots and lots of headaches to sell your pizza or to sell your salad or to sell your spaghetti or sandwiches or cookies or whatever. All of that. You've got hundreds of thousands of dollars invested in staff and personnel, and then you're working on margins that are just so small. And a lot of people grow up to believe that's how traditional business works. You got to get all that stuff ready before you go into business. But there are other and better ways to do it, especially now with the internet and information products. So information products, which is primarily what I do, I'm a publisher of information products. That's primarily my business, and I love it because when they're digital products, there's no hard costs. There's none of the negatives in the risk and the downside that we get with a traditional business, like I mentioned in the restaurant example, or the food service business, or the manufacturing of products business. And many others, too.
Yeah, and I want to talk to you about that. I perceive this can be lost, Mr. Sethoff. This can be lost at times when you're focusing just on the marketing or on the sales perspective of things. It's getting yourself in a situation where you can leverage those skills and where the model is set up so that the leverage actually can perpetuate or can take care of itself on a grand scale. Does that make sense?
That a business, like a traditional business, could get lost in all of the minutiae of everything we talk to when...
Let me clarify.
Go ahead.
I think sometimes us here in the information marketing
world... Okay, yeah.
And a lot of it is based on what? It's based on copywriting and sending out your sales message via either, you know, email over the internet or doing direct mail follow-up. You know, a lot of info businesses start out that way.
Yes.
And I wonder if sometimes do we get caught up in the marketing so much that we don't think, like you said, is the model I'm operating with something that can maximize the ultimate leverage of these skills?
Well, tell me if I'm on the right track. With the information products business, you know, once you have your product, that's great. But the marketing is everything. You know, the marketing and the selling is the only thing that really matters other than your market and your product. And that's what most businesses should be doing, is concentrating on the marketing and the selling. That is important. There's always something we could be doing in our marketing, always. Whether it's establishing new joint venture relationships or, you know, getting exposure within your community, getting exposure for your product or your business in with the media, you know, selling more, making more offers, trying new sales letters or new sales angles. You know, it never ends.
Yeah. So what you're saying is, because, you know, look, everybody's dream is probably write the one promotion and then move to the beach.
Yeah.
So why is that so elusive? And, you know, what are the realities that prevent that dream from really being something that happens?
You know, we hear that you're one letter away from being a millionaire. I've heard it, and I haven't gone after that. What we're talking about and where I've heard it are within the direct mail circle. So what you do is you find a market, and you find a mailing list within that market that you can rent. So if you find a mailing list, say, of a product that's sold, you know, let's say it's a herbal supplement that helps you lose weight, okay? And you find a mailing list where this mailer is willing to rent his list. You know, he must have maybe, say, 10 million names on it. And say the hotline names are, these are recent purchasers of this product within the last 30 days, and they've paid $60 for this product. So you can rent the names of people who have bought this weight loss supplement, who have paid $60 in the last 30 days. So the concept is, well, let's rent this list and let's sell another type of weight loss pill product. Because if you're going to market and sell something to a buyer of someone who's already spent $30 on a supplement to lose weight, there's a real good chance that that buyer may be willing to try maybe a complementary supplement that they can lose weight with. So you would create a sales letter and you would mail out and test to that list of buyers. Now this mailing list owner, he may have 100,000 buyers every month for his product. So you would potentially have 100,000 names that you could mail out to every month. So if you could make your letter with your weight loss pill product profitable on a test of, say, 1,000 or 5,000 names, if it costs you $5,000 to mail out to 5,000 names and you could double your money and bring back $10,000, right there, there's a good chance that if you can make that work, if you can double your money, then you're set. You're a millionaire. And the concept is, if it's going to work with 5,000 names and you have available to you 100,000 names, you just do the math, and you have available to you 100,000 new buyers every month, technically, you can make yourself $1 million. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
So this is the dream, and it is doable. It is doable. It may not be as easy as it sounds. You're going to have to find your product, have control over your product, you know, get your shipping, all the details of selling a product like that down, and you're going to have to create your sales letter, get it printed, order the list, and test it. It's elusive maybe because most people don't actually go through the steps and give it a try. You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
Right, right. You've obviously had the opportunity to talk to a bunch of individuals who are masters at that.
I've talked to some people who have done that, I would say. Are they masters at it? You know, Eugene Schwartz was probably a master at it. But I don't think it's as easy as it sounds because I don't have any first-hand experience in doing direct mail like that. I'd like to, and I've always wanted to. I just, for some reason, I don't know, I avoid it. Doing the online stuff is easier. But I would say it's doable. You got to test it, though. You got to do it.
Right. Now, you said you'd like to do it.
Yeah, I would.
And would you create a consumer product, kind of like we were talking about?
Well, I don't want to do any kind of health supplement or anything like that because, you know, when you're dealing with supplements and stuff like that, you're in a gray area. I don't want to be looking over my shoulder worrying. You know, you have a lot of risk when you're doing stuff like this. You know, Eugene Schwartz, when he was selling even his consumer books on, you know, how to lose weight and all the stuff that he sold, he had a lot of heat from the government. You know, when you're mailing out tens of thousands of letters and 50,000 letters and you claim to lose weight, which is a really hot market, you know, you've got the postal regulators looking at your stuff. You could be violating any kind of FTC laws when you're dealing with consumers. There's some inherent risks in there that I don't want to take on. That's probably one reason I've shied away from it. But if it was a product that was, you know, a harmless, kind of innocent product where it wasn't a questionable type of consumer product, you know, I'd be more apt to do it. It depends on the market and the product.
Had you gotten a chance to research anything like that?
Yeah, I'm always looking at different stuff. Look, anything can be sold by the mail. I mean, you just look around where you are, your room or your office. Anything can be sold by mail and can be done through copy. I've considered it. I think I'm still kind of entrenched in building my world's largest interview site, and I'm kind of obsessed with that, so I haven't veered off that much. And I'm more apt to take risk by, you know, mailing out tens of thousands of emails because it doesn't cost me anything and generating sales that way. There's less downside doing what I'm doing. To test 5,000 names on a product, you know, it's kind of like we talked about starting that restaurant. There's a lot of cost involved up front and getting it all set up. There's a lot of work involved. So I've just personally taken the easy road doing all online stuff for right now. But it's not out of the question. You know, I do some direct mail, actually. In my pen business, I still market and sell pens, and I use a one-page direct mail letter to do that. So I've used a little bit of direct mail. I've been doing it with the pens for years. There's a couple pens I've been doing for almost 16 years. I still have accounts at Order Pens, and that is a little business that is different from what we're talking about in the examples of the restaurant, you know, because I learned how to manufacture a pen without any machinery, and it's like a felt tip marker, and my materials, the pen parts, cost me about 17 cents, and then I can wholesale the pens for about $1.50. So I can almost get 10 times margin on a wholesale level. And that's what you need with any product. You know, the information product beats that. I got a call from a guy in New York who runs a bar, and one of my pens is a invisible ink marking pen, and they mark the hands of the people who come into the bar. And this guy just ordered 12 pens from me. And remember, my cost is 17 cents, but he's paying $4.50 per pen. So he's paying $60, and that includes his shipping because they just ship out in a priority mail envelope for 12 pens that cost me under $2. So this is what we're talking about in business. No matter what business you want to go into, you want to find something with margins, okay? So I sold a pen, I don't know, what is it, 50 times my cost to this guy? And you look at a grocery store, you know, a big grocery store chain, their margins, they're working on maybe 1% or 2%. And I'm working in the tens of thousands of percent in margins. So that's another attractive thing about the information products business. Your margins are huge. So you could have a business doing $10 million a year, only making a couple percent in net profit. But an information products business, you could be selling $100,000 a year, and 95% of that can be net profit because there's very little hard cost. So it's your margins that is what's really important. So when you choose a business or you're looking for a business, that's one very attractive thing about selling information, video, audio, downloadable transcripts, you know, publishing PDF files or Kindle books, stuff like that.
And from what I understand, a big part of the mass mailings that you and I will see people doing or the big space ads is also, I mean, obviously a big part of it is the great copywriting. You know, Mr. Snuff, a great copywriting, but also are they able to suppress their ad costs, you know, through media buyers or whatnot?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you've listened to the Ted Nicholas interview.
I haven't yet. Does he talk about that?
Oh, yeah. Do you know who he is?
Oh, yeah.
In that interview, you know, he was one of the largest space advertisers ever, and he was a publisher, and he sold information products and courses and, you know, how to incorporate your business for under $50 without a lawyer, and he sold through space advertising, and he admitted that he would never have been able to make his business work if he wasn't able to buy his space advertising at reduced rates. If he paid the rate card rate for his advertising, it would have never happened. And so for anyone listening who wants to get into selling using space advertising, the interview up at hardtofindseminars.com with Ted Nicholas, he tells you exactly how to negotiate your rates for space advertising and what to say to the advertiser. You see, the advertisers are selling space that expires every month or every week or every day. If you're in a newspaper, that space is gone if it doesn't get sold. And you can negotiate and buy advertising if you know how to do it. If the average Joe calls up and says, yeah, I want a full-page ad, he's going to get the standard rate card, which is going to be very inflated. It's what the dummies pay. But an astute businessman in business to sell his product or service knows that you never pay the full price that they're asking. You negotiate a rate. And there's a way to do that with a publisher when you explain that you're in the direct mail business. And the direct mail business is a business of numbers. You know what kind of numbers you need for you to advertise with them again. And, of course, the publisher wants you to advertise with them again. So it's all calculated on cost per thousand. How much does it cost you to get your advertising message in front of 1,000 people? So it all comes down to mathematics, and the numbers have to work for you to continue advertising with them. So there are ways to negotiate that.
Yeah, that's interesting, though, that he said that. You know, because Ted Nicholas, you know, I heard about him at a relatively young age, and I know he was the guy who was able to, I guess, move to Switzerland long ago and, you know, be able to live on Lake Geneva. So let me ask you this. You know, you've had a chance to talk with him, and you've had a chance to talk with some other highly successful entrepreneurs and copywriters. Is there anything, Mr. Senoff, that you notice they have in common that lends to their success?
We just did it. We didn't just dream about it and talk about it. We did it. We made it happen. We created products. We created sales campaigns. We wrote copy. We marketed. We just started, and we didn't quit.
we just kept going. I would say, that's the ingredient right there. There's no secret. You just got to do it and keep going. You know, don't give up. I would say that's what the successful people do. They don't quit.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree with that. I believe a big issue people have is they don't know how much failure is just a component of success that you need to fail in order to get past that.
That's so true. You know, the problem is people are not willing to fail, and that's why they're not willing to try. So this is why most people don't make it in life. They're afraid to fail, or they're not willing to fail, when they don't understand that no matter what you're going to do, if you're going to do it well and if you're going to get successful, that's just part of the criteria. You're going to fail. You're going to have to fail. That's just how it works. You don't do anything real well and get successful without failing. That's just how it works. There's no way around it. You may get lucky one time and have a success and never fail, but that rarely happens. You have to understand that with success comes failures, many of them sometimes. But if you keep going and you don't quit, that next try in something may be the big home run you're looking for.
And I'd be really curious to know, like, so what kinds of questions do you try to ask yourself to learn anytime you fail?
Well, I'm not asking questions. If I try something and it doesn't work, I say, well, I guess that doesn't work. I'm not going to do that again. You want to learn from your failures. You just don't do what doesn't work. You want to do what works. You may not know why it works, but if it works, you just keep doing it. If it doesn't work, don't do it. So you look at the results from your efforts, and then you let that guide you to what you do next. I worked low-paying jobs as a busboy and as a waiter and a dishwasher, and you know, I shucked oysters and swept floors and cleaned bathrooms, and that wasn't working for me. I didn't like it. So I looked for an easier and better way. For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
Well, so Mr. Senoff, we're about halfway through. If it's okay with you, I'd like to transition and talk more about selling and salesmanship in print and marketing in general. Does that sound good?
Sure.
Great. Well, you said something really interesting, probably in the product you just bought. You said something like, if you're chasing a buyer, it's much harder to make a sale when a buyer's coming to you. You know, take away selling. Can you talk to me a little bit about what makes that work and how you go about implementing it?
That's marketing. Marketing is like a perceived image about you or about your product or your service. It's positioning. And what makes that work, if you look at my site, hardtofindseminars.com, let's say you're visiting my site for the first time and you say, okay, who's this Michael Senoff guy? You see the little video. For the last 5 years, I've been interviewing the world's top experts. Okay, you're looking at that. Then you scroll down the page and you see, holy shit, this guy's interviewed this guy, this guy, this guy. You know, there must be 150 interviews right here. All for free. And there's proof, because you can go to each one of those pages and start listening to the beginnings of each one of those interviews. And there's my voice, and sure enough, there's the expert that he says he interviewed. So there's proof right there. And then you go check out the testimonial page, and you've got some of the top marketing guys in the world who say nice things about me. There's a whole book, 330 testimonials and stories from Michael Senoff students. There's more proof right there. There's his bio. You can see a picture of him, his wife and his grandfather and his history of how he got started. And boy, here's his products. This guy's published author. He's got products. Must have 12, 13, 14 different products. All of that work, that's all marketing and that's all positioning. So if someone's a qualified person for learning about marketing and advertising and copywriting, and they see all that proof and all that evidence and everything there, that's how you get them coming to you. That's why you call me, right?
Sure.
Isn't that what happened in a nutshell with you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's my marketing. On your time, I put it up there and did the work to get it all up there. But on your time and your own effort, you scanned my website, you downloaded and listened to my interviews, you listened to a product that sounded pretty good, you got some value from it, you looked at the testimonials, and you probably looked at some of the case stories from maybe my students. All of that you were doing on your time, and then you called me. I didn't call you. So my marketing and my positioning got you to pick up the phone or to type on your keyboard and email me to inquire more about maybe one of my products. You did become a customer. You ordered my audio marketing secrets. So all my marketing produced a profit. $97 for me. And you're doing an interview with me now. So everything I did worked exactly how it was supposed to work. It positioned me as an expert and positioned you as a student wanting to learn more from me and my expertise. You see?
I do see. So, I think if I had to classify it or to reduce it to its basic fundamental, it's you having something that people want.
That's right. I provided some value, and you wanted to learn more. Correct. But I position myself in a way that I'm the guy who has more information that you may want to know. You see?
Right.
You know, if you came to my site and there was none of that, and it was just a sales letter from my Audio Marketing Secrets, and you knew nothing about me, no stories, no social proof, no testimonials, would you have even read the rest of the letter? You know, would you have called me? Would you have thought that I may know something that you want to know? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you something else, Mr. Senoff. I'm sure you've heard this before because you know, it happens to anybody who listens to this stuff a lot. You know, before our phone call, I felt like I knew you. There's somebody, I know Michael Senoff, and I don't really know you, but I felt like I know you.
Right.
Because I listen to all your stuff.
Listen. I hear that a lot, yeah.
I bet you do. Yeah, I bet you do.
So the use of these audio interviews is a great way for hundreds and maybe thousands of people to get to know me, but I don't have to invest my personal one-on-one time doing that. What a great leverage for audio.
And not only that, you get to invest the one-on-one time talking to someone like Ted Nicholas. And that's something I really want to talk to you about, because the one thing that really distinguishes you from a lot of online marketers, and what I'd like for you to talk a little bit more about, is how are you able to get someone to come in then for, you know, they're coming in for something free. What does it take to get them to say, okay, I'm not just going to go for the free thing, now I'm going to whip up my credit card and move up and pay?
You know, you got to prove your worth up front. So, look, you got 120 hours worth of free stuff. You know, there's all different types of people. There's people who are just going to listen to the free stuff and they'll never buy from me. Then there's a section of your market that they've listened to free stuff. I've established a rapport. It's like you say, they feel like they know me, they trust me, they like me. And actually, a lot of these people have built up and said, God, I've listened to so much free stuff from him. I've gotten so much value. I want to give back. You know, it's just human nature. You want to pay back some way. So when I make an offer for a product or service, there's already that demand for them to buy something from me. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like they got to relieve themselves because they've gotten so much already. And I think that has helped me generate a lot of sales selling my products and services. But it's like you say, giving away the free stuff gives me a chance to get people to, you know, like me and know me and trust me, because I have many customers who buy from me and it's been 4 or 5 years and they've never bought from me before. So it may take customers that long to really warm up to you and to be ready to pull the trigger and finally buy something from me. And I see that all the time. I mean, I have customers who said, I've been listening to you, you know, for 7 or 8 years, and this is the first time I'm buying, and I've wanted to get something from you, and I'm now ready. But that would never have happened if I didn't give the value first, if I didn't give the free stuff first. I believe you got to give to get. Give to get.
Right. Give until it hurts.
There you go. That's right. You've heard me say that.
And so obviously what that speaks to is the importance of nurturing your leads, following up with them. Anybody who's marketing their own business, I'm talking about, would you see the autoresponder sequences. And I'm surprised. Some of mine have been going on for years with the other internet marketers. Well, I'm not surprised, but I'm relaying the content of what you're saying to. If you look at other internet marketers out there, I signed up for some email lists, you know, maybe 4 years ago. And to this day, I'm still getting regular emails from them.
Yeah. It's very important to keep in touch with your people. I mean, I can't say enough about email. I mean, that's primarily how I market and how I sell stuff, is a combination of what's on my site, but driving my customers back to my site to listen to a new interview or to look at an offer. That's all done through email.
Yeah, so I have a question. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned a guy who, I think you said it was 7 years he was consuming your stuff before he decided to buy. What made him happen on that 7 year and 26th day to suddenly say, okay, now I'm going to buy?
What made it happen was I put an offer in front of him. Let's say for my marketing consulting system, which I train people how to do marketing consulting. What made it happen, he's been studying my stuff and he's learned a lot, and he got a special offer. could have been on a used system. It could have been a reason to buy because it's a payment plan. It could be a price reduction. It could be a scratch and dent sale. It could be order now because I'm not taking any consultants in because we're filled up. Any of those reasons, I put an offer in front of him through the use of email that made an offer for something that he wanted. And it finally clicked. And maybe it was at a price that he could afford where before it was too much money. Or maybe the timing was right where he's in a different point in his life that before it didn't make sense because he had a job and he would never have time to do it, but now he was laid off and he's looking for something new and he needs to do something. So that question is really important, and you got to understand that your list and your market and your customers, it's always a moving parade. There's always something going on. They may be getting married. They may be getting divorced. They may be starting a family. They may have just gotten fired. They may have just gotten their house foreclosed on. Life is never stagnant. There's always stuff going on. And if you're selling products that show you how to generate an income and provide some kind of business opportunity, the demand for that stuff is going up and down all through someone's life. So if you stay in front of all of your customers all the time, daily or maybe 3 or 4 times a week, you're going to be catching part of that customer list at certain points in their life when the time is right, and they'll pick up the phone and call you an order, or they'll email you and they may say, now's the time for me. But you won't know what's going on in 10,000 of your customers' lives. But all you can do is stay in touch with them, and they will know when the time is right. And when the time is right, they will get back with you if they like you, know you, and trust you. And if you've provided great value, and if you sound legit and you're honest, and they feel like they know you, that's what's so valuable, you know, with the email communication and offering the value. You're going to get them when the time is right. You're listening to an interview on Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
Oh, yeah, I hear you. It goes back to that David Ogilvy thing, moving parade of life, like you said. And so my job is to sit here and starve until somebody's ready to buy. Or can it work where you have the whole spectrum working?
No, you don't have to starve until someone's ready to buy. You know, there's prep work, you know, in your marketing. Just like I gave you the example with my website and the testimonials and all that. You may be just starting out and you may not have over 10,000 people on your subscriber list. You may not have people you can market to. So you're going to have to build that, you know, and there's no super fast way of building it. If you're building it yourself, it can be a slow process. But if you want to do marketing, that doesn't mean you can step in and work with a client who has spent 20, 30 years of his life building that list. You gave an example of the bookstore owner. This guy's had a bookstore for, you know, what? How many years has he had a bookstore? Do you know?
30.
Look at this guy. 30 years. He's invested half his life. How old was he? Do you know?
I believe he was in his 60s.
Okay, half his adult life, 30 years, you know, being in the book business. And you as a marketer say, hey, I can help you. And you can step in, and since he doesn't understand or know marketing because he hasn't put the time in or is too busy operating the business or being a technician in his business, you can come in and he's going to turn over his entire email list to you to do some marketing. Now, that's one way you can do some marketing and leverage on someone else's entire life's work and get a piece of that action. Or you can build it yourself. I mean, look at this, guys. It took him 30 years. I had a buddy of mine here in San Diego, and he's a salesman, and he hooked up with a guy who made orthotics, you know, for runners. You know what orthotics is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and he came back with a huge, like, printer's box filled with all the guy's past orders, all his past customers. This guy must have 20,000 past customers from the last 5 years who have ordered an orthotic. You got a name, you got an address, you got a phone number, you got an email address, you've got what he ordered, the size of his foot. And my friend has been calling on this guy's past customers. The owner of this business has never taken the time to do that on his own. He's going to pay a salesman to do it, and there's nothing wrong with that. But those 20,000 past customers are gold, because my buddy who's making the calls, he gets some of them. Some people are ready for new orthotics. It's just the timing is right. They got back into running. They lost one. Maybe the heel was worn down. And because my buddy's making the calls, no different than me sending out the emails or sending out a direct mail letter. You're going to get some of those 20,000 past customers who the time is right. But if the call was never made, you would never know if the time is right. Does that make sense at all? It's all the same.
It's crystal clear. And obviously a big part of it is then to really get going with it is have to have the volume. You can say 20,000 names.
Yeah, that's a gold mine. 20,000 names.
Gold mine.
You look at those 20,000 names like a bunch of oysters in the bottom of the ocean, and there's a certain percentage of those that you're going to have to open them, and there's going to be pearls inside. And it's just money. It's just who's going to make the call, who's going to get the money. Someone's got to make the call, make the contact, or send the letter, or send the email, or send the fax, or do the voice broadcasting. Who wants the money?
Let me ask you about that. I worked in sales. I know you worked in sales. And one of the things I was always contemplating was, well, look, he's not buying now. I mean, does that mean I should be doing something differently, or is it because he's really not ready?
If he's not buying now, it depends on what it is. What were you selling then?
At the time, it was a service for restaurants.
You know, as a salesman, you can ask him why he's not buying now. You can say, is it a timing thing? If it was the right time, would you buy? When would you be ready to buy? If you're contacting your customers or you're out selling, you want to get the real reasons why they're not buying. Just ask them straight up. Say, hey, I want to just ask you straight up, why aren't you buying? Should I invest time in getting back with you? Do you think you'd be a prospect in 4 weeks, 6 months, or 2 years? Would you like me to keep in contact with you? Just ask them, and they'll tell you. But if it costs you very little to stay in touch with them by sending them an email or putting their email in an autoresponder or sending out a postcard every 30 days, you want to do that. If it's someone who's not buying and they can be honest with you and tell you they'll never buy, you don't want to waste your time because it costs money to keep in touch with them, especially by direct mail or postcard, even by phone. Email really doesn't cost any money. But if you give them an opportunity to opt out of the email list, they'll let you know they're not interested.
Yeah, good. And so I think, Mr. Sunup, I think the principle of that is, however great of a marketer you are, you need to make sure that those skills are applied to a prospect list that actually could yield some sales.
Yeah, ABC, yeah. Always be selling, always be marketing, always be making offers to that list. If you're not making offers, you won't be selling anything. So, you know, most people think that they may be marketing or selling or making offers too much when they're, in fact, not making enough offers. You know, or not keeping in touch with their customers enough. If you could increase the response of your contact with your past customers or your prospects, you know, that's why I do a daily email, where most people used to think an email should only go out once a month. Well, I'm keeping in touch with my customers 30 more times than the average guy. So if I'm asking for things or generating rapport and trust and likability and providing value and then asking for sales, you know, 30 more times than the guy who sends out one email every month, you know, who's going to make more money?
Right.
The people who don't want to hear from you are going to get off your email list anyway. You can't worry about offending the people who aren't interested in hearing from you daily or however many times you want to keep in touch with them. You want to get those people off your list anyway. You can't worry about those.
Right. And conversely, just having them on your list and mailing them once every 30 days, they're still not going to buy.
Oh, an email list?
Yeah, I mean, just following up on what you had said.
You may get a buyer, you know, from your monthly email, but you'll get a lot more if you're mailing every day. You know, if you're mailing every day, it's like, remember that list that, you know, thousands and thousands of people with all kinds of things going on in their life, which you don't know about, you know, the divorces, the new jobs, the moves, all that stuff. You have no control in knowing what is going on with all your customers. That's why it's your job to put stuff in front of them, because they know when the time is right. The guy who only mails once every 30 days is missing all those different times are right for all those different people with the other 29 days. Because remember, there's always something going on in those other 29 days with all of those people. And if you're not in front of them every day, you're going to miss some of those time is right people, ready to buy now, ready to act.
Glad to say that I took a few notes here. That gives me some ideas about some things. But yeah, I think that's really good stuff. So talk to me, what are some of your goals going forward now?
You know, my goal is just to have an easy and relaxed life as possible. I've got two young kids, and I don't want to be like a workaholic. I want personal time freedom. That is my goal. I have a business set up that allows me pretty much to do that. with my online marketing business. So I get to call my own shots. I can pretty much do what I want. You know, I do have to stay in the game because, you know, my kids are young. I got to put them through college, and things are always happening. So you never know. But I really like what I'm doing, and I'm going to continue doing it and just constant improvement and more interviews and, you know, learning about stuff that I'm interested in and then sharing it with my subscribers and probably creating some new information products. I mean, definitely creating some new information products and just more of the same.
Yeah, I think the last time we talked, you said you had a few products for more interviews.
Yeah, I do.
Were those for just adding more to the collection you already have, or were those for creating separate products?
Combination of both. Some of them will be individual products that I'll be selling, and then all of them will also be packaged in with existing products that I'm selling as well. So what's nice about the interviews are you can give them away free. You could package them in and increase the value of an existing product. You can make it a standalone product that you can sell. You can do all of the above.
Right. Yeah, like you said, repurposing.
Yeah, that's exactly right, repurposing.
Okay, before we go, I'd like you to give me three homework assignments. Either how I could improve as an interviewer, or how I could improve as a copywriter, and maybe one is how I can improve as an entrepreneur.
How you can improve as a copywriter. Okay, depending on what your product is and what your market is, the way you can improve as a copywriter is to get inside the head of your buyer. So find buyers of your product that you want to sell and get on the phone with them and talk to them and find out why they buy, what makes them buy, what do they like about the product, what are their goals, what don't they like. You know, one-on-one conversations. And you want to talk to your market. If you don't want to get on the phone and talk to them one-on-one, enter their conversation. Go to user groups or news groups or web pages or websites where these buyers are talking about the products that they're buying. Look at Amazon reviews on competing products. You want to find everything you can about that buyer and what makes them tick and why they're choosing to buy your product or service and what they don't like about competing products or service. You don't copyright. There's no such thing as copywriting. What you're doing is you don't dream up copy that's going to go out to these buyers. You assemble desires and objections and product benefits and features that are already out there. So you got to go find them in the real world, and then you will assemble your copy, your web page or your sales letter or your email or your direct mail letter in a way that you have proof is what they want. I just sent out an email yesterday. It was titled Imagine, and then it had a bunch of how-tos, and it all related to my HMA marketing consulting program. And it was how to build a steady stream of clients, how to generate X amount of dollars every month, only working this amount of hours per week, how to do this, all these how-to statements. But I didn't write them. They came directly from the words of a profile where I asked them, if they had a magic wand, what would their consulting business be like? So I took their statements and turned them into how-to statements. They wrote them. I just assembled them in the email. So I didn't dream any of that stuff out. And that's where you get your best copy, right from the mouths of your buyers and your clients and your prospects. So that's number one.
Great.
How to be a better entrepreneur. Listen to all my stuff. You know, study. Talk to more entrepreneurs. You know, the stuff you're interested in, get on the phone and talk to people who have been doing it 20 or 30 or 40 years. Stand on the shoulders of other experts who have done it before you, and you'll shortcut your process to getting to where you want. Don't try and do it all on your own. Find other experts who have done it. Read everything you can about what you're trying to do, and then learn from their mistakes and just do it. You know, there's nothing you want to do that someone hasn't done already, and that someone hasn't failed already, and that someone hasn't succeeded in already, and just find out what they did to succeed, and you do the same. Unless you're totally blazing a new trail in something that no one's ever done, then you're going to have to just kind of learn as you go along.
Good.
And what was the third one?
Interview.
Oh, how to be a better interviewer. I think you did a real good job. You know, you were real calm. You had your questions prepared. I think you did great. Look, how many interviews have you done?
I've done a bunch.
You've done a bunch. I think you did fine. I mean, there's nothing I would say that you did wrong or that you could do better. I guess what could you do better? You know, one thing that I think about when I do them, a lot of the questions, and it just kind of goes hand in hand with researching your market and product, a lot of my interviews aren't really my questions. I send out to my list, I say, hey, I'm interviewing this guy, what is it you want to know about it? Or I'll do these ask campaigns. If you want to learn something about negotiating, what would be the number one question you'd want to ask my negotiating expert or my licensing expert or my consulting expert? So the questions I ask the expert aren't even my questions. They're the questions that my listeners want to hear. And that goes into play. The same thing about when you're writing copy or your web page for a product or service, you're going directly to your market. You see?
Right.
Yeah.
And by the way, I appreciate your compliments about the interviewing because I think the interviews you do are incredible.
Well, thank you.
I think they really are. You do a great job of really listening and then digging deeper into what's being said.
Just dig deep.
Well, listen, I work on one and two, and I'll get back to you.
Okay, yeah, definitely do that. And I've enjoyed it, and have a great rest of the afternoon.
You too. Thanks so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com. That's the end of my interview with Liam. I hope it's been helpful. And if you'd like more help or information on creating your own information products, go on to Google and search Audio Marketing Secrets.